If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello and welcome back to the Eurogamer Newscast. It's 2023, happy new year. We're back again to talk about everything related to gaming news, and in this episode look ahead to what the next 12 months of video games has to offer. Joining me as always, it's the Eurogamer News team. You've got Ed Nightingale.
Happy new year.
Victoria Kennedy.
Happy new year.
Liv.
And a happy new year.
You don't all have to say happy new year, but happy new year. I'm Tom Phillips.
I could not wish people happy new year after you did, so then I felt bad because I was just going to go, hi.
Yeah, we're back and 2023 has already kicked off and video games are on the horizon at last. There were so many that we've been looking forward to a long time, some that we had expected to come out last year but have been delayed for various reasons. And 2023 has some real bangers on the horizon to look forward to. And as well as video games themselves, video game adaptations, video game events, there's plenty going on this year. And we are going to talk about some of our most anticipated things. Ed, starting with you, what is your most anticipated gaming thing coming up in 2023 that you want to tell people about?
Well, I've got three. They're not necessarily in an order. But
pick which one of the three you're most excited about.
Oh wow! Well, I'll begin with the most predictable, which is Final Fantasy 16, because I do enjoy wittering on about this game and my excitement for it. This is the first mainline Final Fantasy game, obviously since 15, which was 7 years ago, and that game was not massively well received. And I feel like a lot has happened at Square Enix since then in terms of them selling off half the company and sort of pushing Final Fantasy games specifically. 14 has done amazingly well for them. Everything else hasn't done as well. So they're in a bit of an interesting position. And I think that 16 is going to be... there's a lot riding on the shoulders of this game, I think, for Square Enix, but also for Sony. I think for Square Enix, in terms of, you know, this being the next big single player game, it's bringing the series back, hopefully, to glory. They seem to be really balancing old and new. So it's got a medieval setting. It seems very Game of Thrones inspired, with a very cute dog, which is always a bonus. And that seems to be appealing to older fans of sort of 9. And sort of 1-3 and tactics and those more medieval Final Fantasy games. But then it's got action combat from the designer of Devil May Cry, which is bringing in a newer, younger audience. So they're very much balancing these two sides and trying to create a game that will appeal to everyone. And also it is being produced by Yoshi P, Naoki Yoshida, who is well known for basically bringing 14 to success, which is Square Enix's most successful title. So there's a lot riding on his shoulders as well to prove that he can not only do that game, but can do a standalone single player game. There's going to be a lot of influence of that, which will be exciting to see. And it's also a big PS5 exclusive. It's one of the biggest exclusives for Sony for the year, outside of their own stuff. So I think that Sony are really going to be pushing this, and pushing this as one of their big releases, to really show what the PS5 can do. There's talk of a PC version, but that will be down the line, I'm sure, after 6 months. So for now, PS5 is the only way to play this game. And I think that they are really going to push that and use this to show off the console. So I think this is a really big milestone for the series and for this game in particular. And I'm very excited to see how that's going to turn out. But on top of that, I think even just Final Fantasy in general, there's a lot to look forward to this year. There's that game. There's the, I think, 10th anniversary of Final Fantasy XIV, its original release. So there's definitely going to be some big celebrations for 14 fans. There's Fiat Rhythm, which is a music rhythm game that celebrates the whole series. There's potentially the next part of 7 Remake, which name I've forgotten now off the top of my head. Rebirth. I think it's Rebirth.
Why are you asking us?
Well, I'm talking to myself, to be honest.
You're supposed to know. You're the expert.
I can't remember the top of my head. But that's coming out this winter, which could potentially bleed into next January, February. So it might not be this year. But there's a chance that we might see more of that at the very least. So there's a lot of Final Fantasy stuff to happen this year. So as a fan, there is a lot to look forward to.
Okay. I love that you mentioned the dog. Very important to give the Torgal dog his shout out. Yeah.
What's his name?
Torgal. Yeah. Which not some Colin. People have sort of interpreted as maybe being related to Thor and it being a sort of Viking reference. And he is part of your team. So he is not playable, but you can order the dog around in battle.
Has there been another dog in Final Fantasy since? I know Rinoa in 8 had Angelo.
Yes.
And that was like one of her moves.
Yeah.
Has there been dogs? There have been.
I think there have. Yes. But this is one they are pushing to, you know, the forefront, I think.
I think for me, it just looks like a classic Final Fantasy game. It doesn't have flying cards in. It looks like the Final Fantasy games of old, but on the PlayStation 5, and it will be the first Final Fantasy for PlayStation 5 that really lets them loose on that console's graphics in a way that, you know, they're not remaking anything. They are doing an original title and making it look as pretty as they can. And I think, yeah, as you were saying, bringing a lot of fans back to the franchise that have maybe sort of stepped away over time.
I think they're trying to make Final Fantasy sexy, both metaphorically and literally, because there is sex scenes in there.
You don't find flying cars sexy?
Well, they
men
can
in
be.
Trench coats and black shades looking like they're walking out the Matrix.
Absolutely.
But this is the thing I was going to ask, with because they've said that this one's going to be a little bit more graphic, like blood and gore and things, and like
it's the first mature Final Fantasy.
I was going to say, is that a good thing for the series? Isn't like. You think?
I mean, I'm sure there'll be people younger than 18 that are like, oh, I can't wait to play it because it's got sex and violence. But I think for me, as I mentioned, there's a big Game of Thrones influence in that it seems like it's aiming for that medieval fantasy sort of gritty realism. There's blood, there's sex, it's realistic. It feels like it's aiming towards that kind of vibe. Which, yeah, hopefully will show that they are showing a more mature storyline in the truest meaning of mature, not just what people think of mature because it's dark and gritty. But I think it hopefully will be a decent story with well-written characters. And, you know, it's going to be fantastical. It's got massive iconic summons battling each other and magic and Moogles and Chocobo. But it feels like it's a little bit more grounded rather than the flying cars and sci-fi of more recent games. So, yeah, I'm excited to see that direction.
I hadn't actually realised it had been so long since the last one.
Mm. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Victoria, what are you most looking forward to in the world of video games this year?
I have quite a lot, so I'm going to try and condense it and be as concise as I can.
Pick
going
one.
Not
what are you most
not necessary in any
forward to?
Okay, well, coming for the most imminent thing, there's obviously The Last of Us coming, and I'm very, as in the TV adaptation, and I'm very excited about that because I'm a big, big, big Last of Us fan. And, you know, from everything that I've seen and read so far, I'm still excited, which I think is good when you're thinking about an adaptation of a video game. I still think it's going to be great. So there is that, and that's obviously the first thing because that's coming, what, on Monday morning at 2 a.m. So everyone else who's coming at 2 a.m., I see you, I'll be with you. It's going to be good. I just think it looks like they've done a really good job from what I've seen so far. I think Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey look so suited to the roles, and I'm very excited for that.
It's a massive deal, isn't it? You know, video games get a mixed reputation when it comes to adaptations, and people who are into high budget stuff, you know, maybe a video game thing for them, they could take it or leave it, but it does seem like
this does look like
from
the
reviews, it's very well done.
Was it? It does, from what I have like heard from people who have seen it so far, it does sound like they are treading a line between, you know, appealing to the gamers who want to see it because it's a franchise they love, but also appealing to people who want to have that prestige TV experience. So it does seem, again, I've not seen anything myself, but it does seem like they are getting the balance there to appeal to the masses rather than trying to go for a niche core.
Yeah, do you think it helps as well? I was going to say, do you think it helps as well? Obviously, it's a Naughty Dog game. There's a lot of story in there. It's a bit different from an adaptation of, say, Street Fighter.
I think that definitely does help, because for me, the reason I love these Naughty Dog games is the story. And like, I know, and I should say, this is just me. I don't know how they're adapting it. But for me, the fact that there are zombies and the infected in this world of The Last of Us is kind of an element to the game, but it's not why I play the game. The game I play is for the development of those characters and the relationship between Ellie and Joel and their story. So for me, I feel that it should translate well to an adaptation, because it is about a very real emotion that you're feeling, rather than, you know, doing 30 somersaults across the room to roundhouse kick some fantastical creature. It's that there is a very, like, it's very grounded in reality, even with the zombie element, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'm excited for people like my parents and people who watch big TV shows but maybe don't play video games to experience this and maybe have a better understanding of where video games are now, and that actually video games can tell good stories, because there have been so many bad adaptations that it just has this, I think the industry has a bad reputation for storytelling, and actually there are great stories that can be told and can be successfully adapted to other mediums. So I'm really excited to hear from people who haven't played the game to see what they think about it and to see if they resonate with the story just like gamers have.
Yeah, I think, like, obviously I'm aware I'm going to be watching it as someone who has played the games and knows the stories inside out and back to front, but I'm very interested to hear about those people who have no experience of what The Last of Us is and how they react to the story.
As someone who does know the stories inside out, how do you feel about some of the changes? So like increased focus on some of the characters in terms of their backstories, and then a bit of a change to how the infection works.
For me, I still think that this is going to be good for a TV adaptation. There are some things that work in a game that I don't think would translate well to a screen. As far as the infection spreading, I am going to reserve judgment on that for now, because for me, I was quite surprised when I heard that it was going to be these tendrils that are going to be... So I gather from what has been said, the tendrils, if you hit one, it can almost send like messages down the network, so it can alert clickers, etc., down the line that you're around. And I don't know if that will maybe... I don't know. For me, playing the games, I always was quite aware when I was playing those areas where it was spores and you had the gas mask on, and it felt very claustrophobic and it felt very dangerous and it felt very tense. And I don't know if that is something that maybe would be lost when there is the fact that you don't have that claustrophobia. But then I don't know how they presented it in the show, so...
We shall see.
But as far as characters go, I love that they are giving more backstory to characters that were mentioned in games but maybe not as developed. Like, I think that's going to be really... And I think the fact that they do have Neil Druckmann involved in it does, you know, it's not like they're completely rewriting things without Naughty Dog kind of saying like, yeah, this is maybe what we thought about for this character, but we didn't have the budget or the time or the scope to develop it maybe in the games. And now this is our chance to tell a story that we would want to tell, but couldn't.
I think that definitely adds some authenticity to the TV show for fans of the game. Like, that, you know, this isn't just someone's taken the license and run with it. This is Naughty Dog are actively involved in this.
Mm. Yeah, so I'm very excited about that. But that's just one of many things for 2023. So I feel 2023 is going to be a very good year for me and the gaming industry generally. I've got high hopes.
Me too. All right, we'll hear more from you in a bit, Liv. What are you most excited for this year?
I think I'm going to say Yakuza Ishin, because. We've got Yakuza Ishin, and then we've got 8 at some point down the line after that, as well as the little spin-off for Kiryu. And yeah, Ishin is just something that people have been waiting for a very long time. I think it's nice to see that they you know, the studio has realised that people in the West do have an interest in kind of the historical setting and stuff. So it'll be good to finally play that. And then I want to do like a whole marathon of all of the games to prepare myself until 8.
Are you going to play them in?
How long will that take? That's
however long it needs to take.
That's fair. Yeah, good answer.
What is the best order for playing them in?
I mean, probably just 0 and then 1, 2. Just go through them like chronologically in terms of the story. So 0 is definitely like the best place to start.
Hmm.
I appreciate when games actually do that. Rather than saying you should start at like 17 and work your way back through 3, 7, 6, 2. It's very confusing.
See, the other series that I've been wanting to do like a huge playthrough of is Kingdom Hearts. But ooh. It's like, where do you even begin?
The numbering for those games is sort of Final Fantasy 2.75 part 5.5.
Recite pi to 3 decimal places and...
That's just nice. No good place to start with, though.
So how does Isshin fit in with the rest of the series?
Isshin is a little spin-off, so it's not technically a part of like the mainline story, like, you know, from the modern games. Well, from the games that are set in the modern days. It's set in like the 1860s-ish, and it's based on like real figures from Japanese history. But it's just that the characters of like Kiryu and Majima are transported back into them, but they play like the actual historical characters. So it's quite fun because you get to see like the characters of the people that like you kind of know. Like everyone knows Majima is like the weird kind of crazy whoa guy, but now they're like these same characters with their personalities, but they're back in like sort of feudal Japan.
Oh, so I didn't realize cool. That was how it was translating. So that's an element that you think will work well?
Yeah, for sure, because I think it definitely retains like a lot of the personalities of how they are like sort of in kind of the like recent games. Recent as in like set in modern day.
But for someone coming into Yakuza or the newly renamed franchise in general, would you still say start with 0?
For sure. 0, it's good. It gives you the grounding and the backstory of the two main characters of the series. And it also is a lot more polished in terms of the gameplay and how it feels than perhaps like 3 and 4 and 5 would be. So
you mentioned 8 as well, which, as I understand correctly, is sticking with the turn-based combat of 7. So with that versus Isshin, is that kind of splitting the series into like action and role-playing?
Well, I think the role-playing was always going to be a thing from 7 onwards, and they decided, you know, they liked it and they want to carry on trying it. And I think the action is more going to be with the Judgments spin-offs.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Will there still be karaoke?
In all of them, I hope so.
In all of them.
Was there karaoke in Japan?
There is karaoke minigames. Yeah. There is a karaoke minigame.
Amazing.
Yes, there has to be.
Good.
What is a Yakuza?
Because when I think Yakuza, I think karaoke.
Without karaoke.
That is where my mind.
Exactly.
Right, Ed, let's move on.
No, wait.
No, we haven't got yours.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, just because you're host doesn't mean you can't chip in. Yeah.
I do have 3. I'm shocked that no one has said Zelda yet, but I'll leave that for one of you guys. Because I'm sure it's coming.
We're all expecting each other to say it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I know, we're all being too polite. We're very British. Tom, seeing as you are wearing the sweater,
no,
lean back and show.
Oh, yeah. I'll leave it for one of you. But yeah, I did want to shout out Pikmin 4 as my... And to be honest, I think I'm probably looking forward to it more than Zelda. Like, I know Zelda will be great. And I'll let you talk about why. But for me, Pikmin 4 is just a very personal choice because it's a game franchise that doesn't get a huge amount of love. And it's something that I genuinely wasn't sure if it would ever still come out. We've known for a long time that Nintendo wanted to do more Pikmin. And I think maybe there just wasn't it wasn't the right time to do it on Wii U. So Pikmin 3 was the Wii U version, and that got re-released quite recently on Nintendo Switch. And then there was a very long hiatus after that came out. There was sort of a suggestion that it might launch at one point for the Wii U, and then I think development got rebooted. And we've, you know, how many years are we now into Nintendo Switch's lifespan? Sort of 5, 6, and...
Oh, it was 2017 it came out.
Yeah, there's been so little mention of Pikmin. And then we got the Pikmin 90 game. I was like, oh, Nintendo have remembered what Pikmin is. That's very nice. And then last year we got the announcement, and I was just genuinely over the moon. I mean, you can see my Pikmin toys to the left of me. I love this franchise for so many reasons. It has a lot of happy memories for me playing 1 and 2 on the GameCube, but also I'm really curious to see where it goes next. I see so much potential in the series. It's just not been one of Nintendo's most popular franchises. And because of that, new entries have come along very infrequently. The first game now, if you go back to it, is very basic. It's an offering where you basically have to escape a planet in under 28 in-game days or you have a bad time. And that was it. You know, there really wasn't much more to it. And Pikmin 2 came along and added a bunch of really, really good stuff. And for me, that's my personal favorite of the series still. It messed around with the time-limited nature, so it kept it when you were on the overworld, but let you spend as long as you want in the dungeons. It introduced some cool new different types of Pikmin and power-ups and like a treasure collecting mechanic. And to be honest, you could play that game really for as long as you wanted. You could completely scour the entire planet for resources and it would take forever, and I had a lot of fun times doing that. Pikmin 3 came out and they sort of picked a bit of a middle ground between those two, and which I mean I was happy to play more Pikmin, but I think at sometimes it felt a bit too complicated. They had this mechanic where you had three people to control instead of the two, and that felt sometimes a lot more like work than play, or one of them just was left there and I'm not sure that three was the best idea for this game. So I'm really curious to see what they are doing with four, and I think the reason that I've been speaking so much about 1, 2, and 3 is because we know nothing about Pikmin 4, and that's probably why I'm so excited about it, because there's so much potential and so much to find out about.
What do you hope then, given that there has been such a huge hiatus, what do you hope when Pikmin 4 finally comes out, what would be like your ideal from like all the things you've mentioned with like Pikmin 2 and things?
Well, Pikmin 2, if you do some maths, equals 4. And I think that a sequel to that, where you are allowed to spend a lot of time immersed in the world, gathering treasures, growing your Pikmin army, uncovering underground areas and secrets and stuff. I would love something similar to that. And I think that... I think that would fit the series really well. You know, I don't want an open world Pikmin game, but an area which is larger than we've seen before, with lots of dungeons and secrets and new Pikmin types. Yeah, I mean, every game so far has introduced two more, so I'm curious to see what we're going to get with Pikmin 4. We've got red, blue, yellow, purple, white, rock, and flying. And I'm trying to think now off the top of my head what others they could do. Bring the Bulbin back from Pikmin 2. Or, I don't know, I'm thinking some crazy things. Pikmin ghosts. After they die, they come back as ghost Pikmin. And they can do funny things. And it's a really blank canvas, and I'm just really curious to see what happens. And we don't know when it's out this year. We know it's coming out at some point in 2023. We haven't had more of a narrow window than that. Nintendo certainly hasn't, you know, they've not been releasing anything for it other than that trailer. It was more a teaser we got at the end of last year.
We had this guy showing a t-shirt. Was that literally the last we've seen of it?
I don't know if that by that guy you mean Shigeru Miyamoto, but
wow. I do. I have a cold. I'm very tired.
Yeah, he pops up at the end of last year.
You knew exactly who I meant.
The guy who announced Pikmin 4, yeah, he popped up at the end of last year, towards the end of last year, when they did the big Nintendo Direct. And we saw a little bit of in-game footage. It looked a lot like Pikmin 3. And yeah, we got confirmation just that red, blue, yellow Pikmin were back. Shock. And that was it, really. So very, very much looking forward to them starting to show more of that. Hopefully sooner rather than later.
Did they not say there's a new perspective that's closer to the ground?
I think they might have said that was an option, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I would love to see them bring back some of the controls from the first games as well. The motion controls were interesting, but the GameCube, I mean, all things with a GameCube controller are seemingly best. And you used to be able to just maneuver your little Pikmin army around with the yellow C-stick. Bring that back. I like that. Anyway, Ed, are you going to do it? Are you going to talk about Zelda?
Not yet.
We might have time for just one more from each person. So someone's got to do Zelda in this next round.
Victoria can.
Oh, no. I can't.
I will group a few games together into indie retro style RPGs. There's been a bit of a trend recently for indie companies to sort of create new role playing and adventure games, but sort of very much inspired by old ones. I played a game recently called Chained Echoes, which is very much inspired by Final Fantasy VI and Chrono Trigger and the old like SNES RPGs. And there are some new games coming out in a similar kind of style. So there's one called Sea of Stars, which is the developer behind The Messenger, which was that ninja platformer that came out a few years ago. And they are now creating this new Sea of Stars game as a sort of love letter to Chrono Trigger. And it's got Chrono Trigger's composer in it as well, making some of the music. So that's a nice little callback. There's a game called Demon School, which is kind of Persona-y. But it mixes like Italian horror with 70s music and anime. Really, really cool. There's The Plucky Squire, which is mixing that sort of old school top down kind of retro Zelda-y type vibe, but then also bringing in the new 3D elements when you're outside the page. I think that looks really exciting. Just lots of games like that I think are really appealing to my, I guess, youth of playing older JRPGs, I think look really exciting and sort of updating that retro style, but bringing it into a new era. So I'm excited to play those.
2023, the updated retro indie year, maybe inspired by Tunic.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, also Min of the Hollower as well, which is made by Yacht Club Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of top-down Zelda meets Castlevania, but in a Game Boy style. So it looks like Link's Awakening.
That looks
with a little mouse.
Great, yeah.
Which looks really fun as well. So yeah, just lots of retro style games.
I really thought that you'd talk about Silk Song, but there we go.
If it
comes out this year.
Well, exactly.
Victoria.
I am going to steal from Ed and also bundle some together because I'm very excited because there are two franchises or two genres or whatever from my youth that are coming back as games, and that's Moomin. So there's Melody of Moomin Valley with Snufkin and Tintin Reporter, Scars of the Pharaoh. And I still love Moomins and I still love Tintin, and I read Moomin and Tintins to my kids, and I'm so excited that these two games are going to be coming this year. So those games are very high on my 2023 list of things I'm very excited about.
I love the visuals of the Moomin game.
I was going to say, it's like a storybook. Like, it looks like the art style looks so, so beautiful. And I like, without sounding like such a mum, but it just looks delightful. And I'm so excited by that one. And these are games that I will hopefully be playing with my children. I had a lot of fun last year playing things like Kirby with my kids, and I went through Mario Odyssey, which I know was in a new release with my son, and Return to Monkey Island last year with my kids. And so those two games I've already earmarked for some good family time with my two little ones.
Nice. They both look great. Yeah.
They both look really, really good. I know that I say it looks really, really good. We've not seen much of Tintin yet, and neither of these have a firm release date. They just both have a sort of general 2023 release. So, you know, there is still time for things to slip, but I'm hopeful.
I'm hopeful. I'm hoping for the best for Tintin. The studio behind it is the one that did the recent 13 re-release. So,
well, they're really the publisher.
Well...
So, because I was conscious of that. But yes.
Yeah, I'm hoping for the best. And Moomin's certainly looks beautiful. Yeah.
It just looks so beautiful. And I also quite like the fact that we're playing a Snufkin with his pipe and his harmonica.
He's the real badass of Moomin's. I think that's who everyone wanted to be growing up. That's who I wanted to be growing up.
It's like this vagabond.
Cool, mysterious guy.
Coming back every so often to catch up with your friends and then leaving.
Yeah. Hangs out in a tent.
Yeah, we should all be more Snufkin.
Liv, on that note.
if we've only got time for one more, then I am also going to do a sneaky bundling, because I would have said Resident Evil 4, but then I'm conscious of the fact that I've just chosen remakes. So I'm going to bundle mine and say indies. There are so many indies coming out that this year I've played demos for or I've seen, and I'm just very excited to try all of them. There's a whole bunch. Like, I think that, I don't know, I guess maybe just, you know, last year was so quiet in terms of, you know, big AAA releases that maybe I just had more time to kind of focus on the indie scene.
Which are you most looking forward to?
Ooh, I think I will say there's this fishing one called Dredge. So it's kind of, it's sort of Cthulhu kind of based. So you basically like have a fishing boat and you go out and fish during the day. And then when it gets to nighttime, it starts to get a bit, you know, creepy and stuff. And you can unearth kind of artifacts and everything is not quite what it seems. It's very atmospheric.
Sounds cracking.
Oh, God.
That was good. No, it's very atmospheric, and I really liked the demo when I played it a couple of months ago-ish. So I'm very...
What did you play the demo on? Is that on Steam? Or
it was on Steam. I'm not sure if the demo is still available.
Awesome.
That sounds really good, actually. Mm. I like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's a ton of different ones. There's, like, I think... Wild Frost, which is like a card roguelike, we've talked about before on the site. Yeah. There's also another one that I remember playing called Rhythm Sprout, which is a funky little rhythm game. But the music in that's great. So I'm really looking forward to when that comes out as well.
You've just reminded me of another one that's meant to be coming out this year. That was a Steam demo I played last year called Foolish Mortals. Oh, there's so much to be excited about.
What's cool about Foolish Mortals?
Okay. It's kind of got like a sort of, it's very heavily inspired by the Monkey Island series, and I love Monkey Island. So I played the demo last year. I read a little bit about it, but it's just got that, it's like you are a newcomer on this exotic island. It's a point and click adventure, but it's got a slightly darker undertone to it than the Monkey Island games. So it's much more, I wouldn't say it's gritty, but it's got like a lot of dark humor, and it's talking about, like, so there was a bit that I played and you were at the grave and you're talking to the gravekeeper and he talks about how he's not like a mourning person, as in like M-O-U-R-N. And so it's got that slightly, it's still got a lot of humor, but it's a slightly darker humor. That's just one example. I'm not going to give too much away because it's good.
Is that going to be one?
And it had like, one what?
Is that going to be one for the kids or not?
No, this is for me. It's got like, you know it, I don't know if you guys do know, in Monkey Island they've got like the voodoo lady that you speak to. There's also voodoo in this game and things like that as well, but a slightly darker twist on it. So, yeah.
Well, I will do a little roundup too, because there's lots that I am looking forward to. Resident Evil 4, Liv, you mentioned I sometimes I forget it's coming out this year, and I can't wait. It's my favorite Resident Evil game of all time, and I love the fact that they're not being too beholden to the original. I still love and will happily replay the original. I don't need a shot-for-shot remake. I think those things are often less exciting in the end when it comes around. If the original game is still accessible, which it is, you might as well just play that. So yeah, really interested to see what the new take on that is. I'm really excited for E3. It's the first big proper E3 in years, and they are a lot of fun. They're hard work, but they are great fun, and I think the industry needs a big summer moment to get excited and show cool stuff and get other people excited.
I'm excited to see what new stuff gets announced at that E3, just because I think for all of the big publishers, we know a handful of games, but there's a lot that we don't know. You know, Sony have talked about all these live service games that they're working on. And aside from VR2, Final Fantasy, and I guess Spider-Man, probably the end of the year, I don't know what else Sony are working on. Microsoft have got Starfield and Redfall and Forza, but not much else. So hopefully they've got some good stuff on the way. Nintendo, again, after Zelda, who knows what they're doing.
Pikmin.
Yeah. So I'm excited to know what's coming next, because I feel like we've got to a point now where new consoles have come out, or I mean, Switch is old, but these newer consoles have come out, and there's been so many cross-gen games that I feel like we're now in a period of, okay, well, what's happening on the new consoles? What's coming next? And I don't think we know too much about that. So I am hopeful that we'll see some exciting new projects at E3.
I hope we see more of Indiana Jones at E3, but I don't think we will.
No, that does seem a little bit far off. We'll see Starfield.
I'm so excited.
We'll see Starfield, I'm sure. I don't think that Starfield's going to be out by the time E3 comes around, so I think it will be there, and I think it will be out soon afterwards. But yeah, and I know lots of people are excited for that. Skyrim in space, goodness, it's been so long since Bethesda branched out with a new franchise. And I've never been a massive fan of Bethesda games, but I'm really hoping that this one does draw me in whenever that comes out. We should talk about Zelda. Let's wrap up by talking about Tears of the Kingdom.
Collectively say Tears of the Kingdom.
I think all of our third points was going to be that. Yeah, I mean, goodness, talk about it's been a while. It's been 7 years since Breath of the Wild.
It came out on the Wii U as well as the Switch. Like, that's
technically
crazy,
yes,
to think now.
Is this the longest between Zelda games?
Maybe. Mainline. I'm not sure. I need to check.
We had like Cadence of Hyrule and things since, but I know that's not a mainline game. And obviously then we had the re-release of Skyward Sword on the Switch.
It's been a long time. And I think it may end up being one of the last big Switch games as well. But we'll have to see about that. Everyone's looking forward to it. It's got the gameplay, but improved from Breath of the Wild. The setting, but improved because it's got Hyrule, but other stuff that's going on. No one knows what's going on with the story, and there are loads of cool theories. It reminds me of if Nintendo can come in with Tears of the Kingdom and just say, look, everything that was great about Breath of the Wild, we've improved. It will remind me of what they did with Mario Galaxy, which was probably the perfect Mario 3D platformer. And then they just built on that for the second. And everyone was like, oh, this isn't quite as revolutionary, but they've really improved things. And I'm happy with that for Tears of the Kingdom. You know, maybe it won't be the next generational leap in Zelda gameplay that Breath of the Wild was from what came before. But if they can bring the Breath of the Wild quality level there and build on it, so it's like, okay, well, that's, you know, everything that you unlock to know and all of the cool systems and stuff that you learn from Breath of the Wild, that's our starting point. And then we're just going to give you extra. I mean, that for me will be perfect.
I recently played Breath of the Wild again, and I just did a very quick playthrough of basically just the Divine Beast in the end, just to sort of remind myself of the core of the story, which got me really excited to just have a new version, I suppose similar, but newish version of Hyrule to explore. And it was just a nice reminder, because I hadn't played it in 4 or 5 years since it came out. So it was a nice reminder of what we're all looking forward to. Should we just quickly go around and say, like, what's the one thing that you hope to have in that game?
Okay.
For me, it's dungeons. I like the shrines, but I want full-on individual elemental temple dungeons in, like, hidden away in Hyrule. That's my one thing I desperately want.
Even a water dungeon.
Yeah. I quite like the water temple. Throwing it out there.
Huh? Wait, are we talking Ocarina? Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Controversial.
Victoria, what about you?
There are many, many, many things I would like to have. Okay, I'm going to mention two. I'm going to be cheeky. I would like to have Zelda as a playable Zelda. I'd also possibly quite like her to be Queen Zelda, because let's face it, she is now the reigning monarch. So I would like to see her actually like fully embrace this place as like a leader. And I'd like playable Zelda. And I've got theories of how that could maybe work. And I think, you know, if we have Zelda, who was very much a scholar in Breath of the Wild, and she had the knowledge, I would like to sort of maybe see, like, puzzle-based things with her. I think that'd be very, very cool. So I don't know if maybe there'll be some kind of, like, potentially... This is me now, like, just wishing. So Nintendo, if you're listening, and you can, like, maybe fit this in, please. When we saw her obviously fall into the cavern in the first teaser for... I keep saying Breath of the Wild 2. I know it's called Tears of the Kingdom. Tears of the Kingdom. I wonder if there'll maybe be like some kind of split gameplay where sometimes you're playing as her and you have to puzzle your way back up to the surface, maybe. I think that'd be very cool. So I'd like playable Zelda, and I'd also like her to be a queen. And then the second thing I really want, which I missed in Breath of the Wild, is I'd like to have more musical instruments, because I know we had Cass playing music, but I love, like, you know, in Ocarina of Time where you played for like teleportation, and then in Majora's Mask it had like, you know, the Song of Healing, etc., etc. And then obviously there was Wind Waker did have the baton. What's the one I'm thinking about, where they're on Koholint Island,
Link's Awakening,
where it was actually like you collected instruments. So I'd like to see some kind of musical instrument element brought back into this game.
Agree.
How about you, Liv?
Add for yours, would you also want to see the return of kind of, items that are like dungeon specific, like, you know, a hook shot or a fire rod or things like that, or kind of dungeons that need those items or give you those items to progress?
I feel like it loses a bit of that iconic Zelda-ness without that. You know, Breath of the Wild doesn't have the hook shot, for instance, which is a classic Zelda item. Equally, I like that there are... With the structure of Breath of the Wild, it's very improvisational and you can approach things in different ways and you're not forced to just use that one item. So I'm a bit in between on that, which doesn't answer your question. I think it would be great if more of those classic items came back, but I would like for them to maintain the variety of approaches that they have in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. That'd be interesting to see if they can strike that balance then.
I think I will go... I don't want to see weapon / shield durability.
Controversial.
Sorry, hot take. Hot take, I know.
I respect the fact you went there. Yeah.
But you know, one of the things I really, really hated in Breath of the Wild was that they give you this cool mechanic of shield surfing. But if you shield surf, you break your shield. Like the durability.
You always got to be picking up more shields.
Get another one.
But what if I have my nice shiny, you know, like the
surf on a pot lid.
Surf on a different one.
No.
This is the thing. No. You got to. It's how you approach the game.
No, I can't be bothered to change my shield just to get a rusty old rubbish piece of shit out to just slide down on. No. Just let me slide on my cool shields.
Maybe there'll be a bit of both, where there are durable, breakable weapons, and you will be able to upgrade or eventually get stuff that stays.
Upgrading a weapon but still having durability would be good. So if there's one you like, you can upgrade it so it at least lasts longer.
No.
What about a transmog system?
Can't see Nintendo doing that.
Tom, what's your one thing?
I think for me, more story. I want to hear more about the world and what's going on. And I liked Breath of the Wild having those cutscenes that you could go and rewatch. I thought that was quite cool. But the sort of that they were all full backwards looking, and I would like to see more sort of story evolve over the course of the game. I want to see bits of Hyrule being torn out of the ground because things happen. I want to see Zelda fighting alongside me and us getting up to cool stuff, and more a more like interaction between characters, I think.
Then would you want Link to talk?
No, I don't need Link to talk. No.
Good. Okay. Glad we're all on the same page for that.
Unless he just starts making whole sentences and like, shit.
Yeah, that's all you need. Oh, yes. Agree. Yeah.
What an excellent point. I love your insight.
Amazing. All right. We're all looking forward to Breath of the Wild. It's out in May. So
Tears of the Kingdom.
Breath of the Wild 2. Tears of the Kingdom. Electric Boogaloo. Yes. With unbreakable pot lids and possibly a playable Zelda. We will see. Thank you for joining us this week. We will be back next week to talk about more video gaming news. Until then, where can people find you on Twitter, Ed?
You can find me at @ed_knights.
Victoria?
I am Lil Chop Shop Gal.
And Liv?
I am at JustCastHoly.
And I'm at TomPhillipsEG. Thanks again, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.